Yeah, one, you, two, me. Yeah, oh, yeah, okay, mate, yeah, good,
yeah,
yeah,
works.
Oh.
The AFL is full of talking heads.
It was insipid performance.
It's not the first time you've turned on a commentator.
They threaten clubs all the time.
But now two men ask the question,
why so serious, serious?
Been spending most of our lives listening to Titus and Paradise.
And yes, welcome back to the podcast. I say welcome back because we've come off the bye yet again. I'm Sergio Paradise, and this bloke here, well, he's a guy who can drop Punter Sharon into a pile of tyres any day of the week. It's Titus O'Reilly. Oh,
especially if the tyres are right next to me, or if I'm in the tyres.
They're right next to your bed.
100 grand. No wonder people showed up to that game. They're now paying each fan 100 grand to go to GWS games.
And you don't even have to kick the footy.
Yeah, they just pretend that you have to kick the footy. Now, we should apologise for not doing last week, but we just didn't really get our diaries to match up, basically.
Yeah, general soreness is what I'm saying. Well, we've gone missing lately more often than the Collingwood midfield.
I know. It's funny, though, that you and I, two men with nothing to do, couldn't get our diaries to match up, but we legitimately couldn't.
No, just could not get a proper time liaison between the two of us, which, as you say, is
we need staff. This is what we need. If anyone wants to work for us, we can offer you nothing.
We need a team of staff.
Yeah, and we can offer you. Maybe we just need interns. They're all free, aren't they? That's what big business does.
Yeah, they do that. That happens a lot in the media. Free interns.
Really?
Yeah, used to happen a lot in TV.
And that was all they had,
just interns.
Get an intern in, just pay them nothing.
Bunch of 18-year-olds, get them in, pay them nothing for the experience. And the thing, because it's TV, they'd be queuing up out the door.
We could do that. It's
complete exploitation.
We could do that, but the experience of working with us is not something anyone would actually want to do.
Yeah, out the door would be, you know, going the other way, not coming in. Now, yesterday, big game. Queen's
Huge
birthday.
Game.
Big
Is there a
day.
Bigger blockbuster than Collingwood Melbourne on the Queen's birthday?
No, well, there
is. It's neither a blockbuster or the Queen's birthday, in my mind.
No, it's a bit of a nothing thing, but it's not a nothing thing when Melbourne get up and win. And it was a fabulous day yesterday. I was there. I mean, you were locked away in the.
No, I got along to the Frank Gray Smith bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with all the private school kids.
Yeah, I was trying. I was down the ball ring, but couldn't get into the ball ring. You never can.
Was it that busy?
It was that busy yesterday. Now, I was sitting in my usual spot, which is near the race, the players' race. And I've got to say, you do get a very good view of, well, obviously the players coming out of the race.
Yeah, you get a great view of the players' race next to the players' race.
Yeah, funny about that. But it was something about the match day experience that sort of annoyed me or perplexed me a little yesterday. Is when the Melbourne players come out, you know, they all have the music going now, and this is what
not the theme song, the real
not the
music,
theme song.
Like,
they have
music.
The pump up music, and this is what the Demons have, and they've had for quite some time. Your Hell's Bells,
yeah.
It is your great pump up song.
Is it the Axl Rose version?
The unfortunate thing, unlike right now, it's not loud enough. In the MCG, and I think that must be a health and safety thing. And everyone's pumped up, and you can see there, and Jack Viney's got the left glove on, he's belting into Jesse Hogan, and they're running, they're all pumped up, and the whole crowd, the members are punching the air, listening to Hell's Bells. Then they go through the banner, and what does the music change to? It's just...
I'm getting fired up right now.
It's just an incongruous mix between the two. It's like Metallica playing the Wiggles or something. It just doesn't work.
I don't know. This is the greatest song ever written in my mind.
Oh, I'll tell you what, it was.
Listen to it. Just beautiful. The tones, the singing is next level. Why don't people sing like this anymore?
The lame brass section.
Be careful, because you say this and someone in the AFL's going, we should remix all the songs.
Yeah, with a bit more Axl Rose.
We should record. That's right.
But yeah, it was a hell of a day, I got to say.
Well, if you're
a Melbourne supporter.
Well, if you're a Collingwood supporter, it was a hell of a day.
Oh, they were ordinary yesterday, the Pies. I got to say, I was sitting with a mate, and at quarter time, when Collingwood were 2 goals in front, He said, geez, this is not the start we look for. And I said, no, did you watch that first quarter? They've got nothing going on, Collingwood. As soon as Melbourne stop turning it over, we will take them to pieces the next three quarters.
Yeah, but you just, whenever you're a Melbourne supporter and we're favourites, you do wonder if it's going to be that, you know, the side turns up. In that first quarter, I did think we were better overall, but the way we just kept kicking it straight to their defence, I thought we could do this for four quarters quite easily. So I was I was pleasantly surprised when that didn't happen. But you're spot on. I mean, if Collingwood were not going to kick goals, they could have just left Travis Cloke in. You know, there's no need to.
Well, Jared Witt sort of took the Cloke spot yesterday by being completely ineffectual.
I think a few players did. The thing that gets to me about Collingwood watching them yesterday is they're not organised. Mm. And that has to come back to the coach a little bit. Like, they don't have people talk about their defensive structure. They don't really have a defensive structure. Their forward line doesn't work. Now, they've got a couple of injuries and stuff, but with Cloke and Jesse White and various others just completely ineffectual, they don't really have a forward line.
Yeah, well, they're for Solo and Elliott and blokes like this. They've got no one to really...
They've got no one, but, you know, even that, I don't know if that's instantly going to turn them around. Like, it's obvious they're not. I mean, I don't like to blame everything on the coach, because there's obviously a lot of the players are just not
quite up to
really
it
doing
they're
their job.
They're too lazy. They didn't run yesterday.
They reminded me of what Melbourne used to be.
Yeah, you looked at
which is the most insulting thing I've ever said to anyone.
But you look at the uncontested possession count, and Melbourne had like 130 more, and that simply tells you that the Collingwood players just weren't working hard enough. They just weren't running up and down the field.
Yeah. And their skills were terrible.
Maynard's little kick out of the back pocket straight to Jack Watts. He couldn't have aimed for him any better. It was just, if you're a Collingwood supporter at that point, and there was a couple behind me, I heard them say, that's it. We are done. We are gone today. When they start doing that sort of stuff.
I felt sorry for the Collingwood supporters.
Oh, no. Don't ever go that far.
I do, because I think it's my age, but my empathy is coming in. But having gone through what Melbourne have gone through, seeing those signs in another club, I just know what they've got. I mean, don't get me wrong. While I feel sorry for them, the comedy material is gold, so I'm not that upset. But, you know, I can't see how they're going to turn it around quickly.
Oh, they're not. This season is a write-off, mainly because of the injuries. I mean,
but even next season, this is the thing with Collingwood. All the promise is sort of on paper. It's they're going to get these players and they're going to be great. Buckley's a great coach. They've got great defensive structure and all this sort of stuff. But none of it is true. It's just all they have a plan of where to go. Like, but not, you know, eventually, at what point do you say all the things you've been saying have just never eventuated?
And so the other thing, I mean,
Melbourne did. How many times did Melbourne used to do this? Where they'd say, we've got the
3-year plan or a Cameron Schwab 5-year plan.
What was it? The red and blueprint.
Blueprint, yeah.
That's the only clever thing he's ever come up with.
Oh, that
not
one,
the plan,
no,
the title.
Just the line, yeah, the one line. I mean, but you look at Collingwood, even with the draft next year, I mean, they've given away their first two draft picks for Aish, who can't get a game. Can't get a game in that side.
And who's very soft.
And is he?
He is. He's very soft.
Yeah, well, he can't get a game in that side. Trelaw was, he had a bit of it yesterday, but he had...
Trelaw's good. Like, he's a good player, but they gave away a lot. But, you know, that probably is the one thing they've done that's been okay. Michael Carlton wrote in, isn't this a 6-year Queen's birthday losing drought for Jeremy Howe?
I think it's a 9-year losing. Well, he probably hasn't played for all those 9 years, but it was an 8 or 9 year losing drought for Melbourne.
Yeah.
So you add one more for Jeremy Howe.
Well, Jeremy Howe complained at Melbourne he was being played out of position in defence. Mm. And then all of yesterday he's gone to Collingwood to be played out of position in defence.
And the only time he gets a kick is in defence. He did in Melbourne and he's at Collingwood.
Yeah. Gene Paul Stannis wrote, will Nathan Buckley get diabetes if he keeps eating lollies at the rate he does in the coach's box?
Nathan, he's trying to get diabetes. That's his way out.
I don't look at Buckley and think he's someone who's, you know, going to get diabetes. He looks fairly fit to me.
Yeah, in reasonable, Nick.
Christopher W. Dawn wrote in, who did the shirt rip better, Braden Maynard to Jesse Hogan or Justin Timberlake to Janet Jackson?
What? So,
I definitely saw more in the Hogan one, I thought.
There were all these girls sitting next to us yesterday who kept saying, Hogan, just leave. Don't get him a new jumper. Just leave it like that. And there was something to be said for that. It just had that old school toughness, inspirational look about it. And he had a good crack at Maynard.
Well, the fact he didn't take it off for quite some time.
And he was strutting after Maynard too after that. And he was gone. He didn't get a touch for the rest of the game, Maynard.
No, but look, it was strange seeing Mel. It still freaks me out a bit when Melbourne are tough. Like
when Jack Viney fixed up Rance.
Well, that's right. It still surprises me because it's been years since we had anyone that...
Not since Rodney Grinter. Have we had a genuine tough... Well, David Nita used to like to split a pack. But to have blokes, you know, six of them coming in and flying the flag and not being pushed around... by the clubs, it is strange.
I'm not sure if I'm comfortable with it yet. It's not the Melbourne way. Now, moving on from that, we had an interesting one with Etihad Stadium.
Oh, this is great.
They came out and admitted they were caught underprepared for the amount of interest in Sunday's clash between St Kilda and Carlton. Mm. Now, I think everyone was unprepared, including the crowd that showed up. The 48,000 people suddenly found themselves all attending a St Kilda Carlton match. But huge lines out the front.
They couldn't get in.
They couldn't get in. And Etihad came out and basically said, well, it's sort of all your fault for not...
Blame the fans.
...not getting tickets in advance. Mm. Now, to me, it is kind of the fans' fault because Etihad Stadium, since its inception... has gone out of its way to convince people not to come to it. So the fact people still do, it's kind of on them.
I think they proved, as you say, the genuine contempt they've always had and continue to have for football supporters.
For the players too. The players hate Etihad. They hate the stadium. They say you have to, it takes you an extra week, like few days.
Yeah.
Not week, few days to recover because the surface is so bad and hard.
And even that other game on the weekend, probably Daniel Menzel nearly copped his fifth knee reconstruction when he skidded on the artificial turf into the fence. I mean, that would have been a big story if that had happened. But again, it's, you know, their point of view, nothing wrong here. Nothing wrong with the artificial turf. You could have sharpened bamboo stakes coming up through the grass and still Etihad Stadium go, no problem. Just move on.
It's the player's fault.
It's the players' fault. I mean, it did. The one good thing to come out of it is they're talking about knocking it down. If they do ever decide to knock down Etihad Stadium, the good thing is the demolition team won't be able to get in. When they say they've paid through the nose for their tickets, an extra $2.95 to print them yourself, and then even though Etihad said we had every gate open, which I do not believe for one moment, it still took forever to get into the ground.
This is the thing where they said they were expecting 30,000, and so that's what they sort of had staff ready for. And they said, you know, it's because we were unprepared. It assumes that if they had have known it was 48,000, it would have been any different.
Exactly.
And I just don't believe that logic. They just regularly have problems. And the thing about footy in Melbourne, especially, one of the things that's great about it is. The idea is you wake up on a Saturday morning, you have a coffee, you go to breakfast, and then you think, you know what, I might go to the footy.
It's a nice
day. You don't have to be like in America or some other places like, you know, in the EPL or something, where you've got to book them
3 months in advance.
Or you can't go. So that's always been the fun bit. Now, I know you can't do that for every single game. You know, if it's maybe... of course, the finals, or if it's a
Anzac Day or something.
Yeah. But overall, that's the fun of footy. We've kind of kept that from the suburban thing. It's something that should be kept. Now, Etihad's never managed to deal with that.
No. It's always been near impossible to get in. If, as they say, the crowd arrives in the last hour to half hour before the bounce.
Yeah.
Which, as you say, but why do you want to get there 2.5 hours early? What do? You sit there watching lame ads. On the big screen.
I'm not even a busy person and I don't want to get there 2 hours beforehand. Who wants to? No one.
You're dead right.
It's un-Australian, Etihad.
Yeah, but at least you can get a $4 pie when you get in there.
Are they,
because that...
Remember with the $18 burger, gourmet burger they had at Etihad?
The old Polo's Man of the People said it was, the year of the fan.
If you're charging $18 for a burger, you can afford to put on a few extra people at the gates.
You can.
Although, simple.
I've got to say, I pulled up two mates yesterday. They've gone off to get a pie, and they've both come back with soup.
Soup
in a polystyrene bowl with a clear plastic lid underneath, which was a bread roll. I said, soup served like that with a bread roll, that is for the homeless. That is not for the MCC members.
I would have hit it out of their hands. And they would have said, that cost me $25.
Yeah, thanks for
that. They would have said, I don't care.
Go and buy me more soup.
That is terrible. That's as bad as having sushi at the football.
That is un-Australian.
If you eat something healthy at the football, I don't want to know you, and you should stop going to the football. One of my favourite stories.
Although, if you do decide to go to the football and eat unhealthily, go early.
Get there several hours early.
Don't get there the last
with a
10
small
minutes.
Business loan if you're going to really pile up. Now, this sounds like a story we've heard before, but it's actually not. It's happened again.
Right.
It's happening again. John Worsfold, who has had a funny week because probably for the 900th time, the media have broken the West Coast were on drugs in 2006, which we have heard a lot.
Yeah,
it's not exactly
fairly familiar with that.
And Daniel Chick's interview, where he revealed a bunch of stuff, is in Ben. A lot of it's in Ben Cousins' own biography, or I've read it in other places or heard it. So, you know, exclusive. If exclusive no longer means exclusive, so that was kind of injuring to me when they came out. So, but in the week that happens, and you think John Worsfold might say, "Well, I might just keep a bit of a low profile given my current situation and its history and everything," instead comes out and says that he's going to invite James Heard and David Evans, the chair at the time of all the supplements saga started, back to Essendon, and he says that it's to help heal the club after their controversial departures. And he said, they were guys in roles at the club when it's gone through maybe its darkest days.
Maybe.
Definitely. Whose fault were those darkest days? Them. You can't say, oh, I went through some really dark days. Yes, of your making. Like, you're the one that...
But James Heard and David Evans, you're going to invite them back at the same time?
Yeah, they don't even get along
they
now.
They haven't spoken in 2 years.
And then he says this, and this is where I start to think, you know, do we need to drug test John Worsfold? Because he is a chemist, so he might be writing his own prescriptions here. He said, I think most people, would have a view that there was nothing deliberate done and nothing sinister in how it ended up.
See, there is nothing about that sentence that makes any sense whatsoever.
That is a sentence so far disconnected from reality. It just, it's mind-boggling to me that he would say that and not, I mean, where's their PR person saying?
Might have been sent out to score.
Like, if you change this to, I think most people too, I think a lot of Essendon fans would have a view that there was nothing deliberate done. Mm. I mean, most people think at best they were just highly incompetent, at best.
At best, yep.
Most people actually think they did something. If they're being charitable, they think they tried to push the line. They maybe didn't realise how far they had pushed the line.
Yeah,
this is a charitable view of some views, and that they, you know, then, you know, went too far, and it was sinister in the end. And Heard prolonged those darkest days through not resigning and all the, and not just Heard. I never blame it all on Heard. It was a group of them.
Of course, it was.
It's just the rest all quickly quit in the main. Who prolonged the darkest days from being days to years.
So when's he going to invite them back? Is there a timeline on that?
He didn't even
is
say.
Is Tanya Heard invited?
James, I don't know.
Bring them
what, as a plus one? Not sure. Not sure about that, Serge.
Okay.
I just think that is amazing. That is just, we refuse to learn from the past.
I know. Heardy Evans back. It's like the Manson family reunion. Nothing good can come of it.
What's this idea they need to heal and everything? Like, you know what Essendon need to do? They need to move on from that. And I don't even care if they come out and say, you know, that those guys are terrible. They don't have to, like, just move on and go back to being a football club and try and win some games and focus on the future and just do like we all do with our families when we have bad things. Don't speak of it ever again. You know, it's like Uncle Jeff. Yeah. We don't talk about him, and we never invite him around.
Every family
there's
has
no
one.
Healing.
It's the bloke who just dances a bit too close to one of the bridesmaids.
Right.
At
there's
every
no
funeral.
Healing happening. He's just not invited, and we never talk about him.
Right.
That's how you handle this situation, Essendon fans. One thing I think we talked about, you can't just then. David Koch came out and said something stupid.
Really?
And
you need to say no
I was
more.
About to say, this time specifically about Essendon.
Right.
He came out and said something particularly stupid. Did you see him at the MND Freeze thing,
yeah,
by the way?
Yeah, I did.
He was dressed up as Olaf from Frozen. Don't ask me how I know that. And
I didn't even know
he
that.
He looked like Danny DeVito from the in The Penguin.
He did.
More than... He really did with his hair and, his
pointy beak. And the glasses, yeah, you're right.
When I remake Batman Begins, or no, it wasn't Batman Begins, Batman Returns.
Well, Batman David Forever. Koch.
No, it was Batman Returns was the one it? He was. It was he's back in. He's we don't need Danny.
Hey, just on that Freeze thing, when you're talking about great outfits, got to take my hat off to Dave Hughes. That is the best Bruce Dool
Dave
outfit
Hughes had the best one.
I have seen since Bruce Dool. That was absolutely fantastic.
So what were we talking about before we went on
David,
that thing?
David Koch,
David
said
Koch came
stupid.
Out and said, well, Essendon, it's a bad look and it's wrong that they're getting the number one draft pick if they finish last. Now, I think Brisbane are going to give them a real run for their money. But, I mean, you can't go and just keep tacking on penalties to a team. Like, the AFL made their decision for the penalty, even if you think it was not harsh enough or too harsh. Like, imagine any other club if... You just could. It's just an open-ended. Like we'll just keep tacking on penalties forever. Like
I mean, that's. The
I mean, I've bagged Essendon more than anyone, but like, there's a point where you have to move on with life and go. They got punished. They're having a terrible season. Next season is with all this talk. They're going to return to fourth. The top four is ridiculous. Like they're probably going to. They're financially going to be absolutely stuffed for the next
decade at least.
Well, the AFL's going to have to bail them out. Mm. Like, but you know, so.
But the rule is that you finish 18th, you get the number one draft pick. You cannot get the conversation started again as to whether this is appropriate in this case.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like priority picks. They're just about gone the way of the dinosaur now, and rightly so, because it's a vague thing. Finish 18th. Get number one. It's a black and white decision. That's how it should be. And as you say, Essendon...
Well, the AFL should have done it back when they handed down the penalty if they were going to do that. Yeah. You know, so that's the way... And they didn't, which is fine. I don't even have a problem with that. Yeah. Like, you've got to give every club a bit of hope that they're going to come back. GWS are going to win the next 50 grand finals anyway, so it's all irrelevant. Now... Speaking of the Brisbane Lions, arguably the worst side.
They are.
If you discount Essendon and their problems, easily arguably the worst side going around.
They are shocking at the minute, the Lions.
Now, before the loss on the weekend, both Lee Matthews and Greg Swan, and I see Lee has come out and done it again since the loss, has guaranteed Justin Lepich will coach the Lions in 2017, which instantly raises the question, who will coach the Lions in 2017? Is there anything worse than a chair giving its...
It's one of the great footy cliches.
Full support?
The full support of the board, you know you're gone. And Paul,
you're in real trouble.
Lepper got asked the question at his press conference on the weekend, and he cut up fairly rough about it. His answer was pretty good. Is it, don't ask me, ask Swanee or Lee.
But there was a few problems with that. One, he shouldn't be so precious. He's an AFL coach. You're going to get that question. It comes with the game. AFL coach if you don't want that. And he said... You know, you wouldn't come up to a person in the street and say, when are you getting sacked? Or are you going to get sacked? But if I saw Justin Lepich in the street, I might just do that.
But you get that question just walking down the street.
No, I get people saying, you should quit.
When are you going to get a job?
You should just stop what you're doing. Sean Darcy wrote in, is it time to merge Brisbane and Gold Coast and create the Golden Bears coached by Jack Nicholas?
I like the way you're thinking, Sean. It's a bit left field, and to be honest, there are a lot of good golf courses up there on the Gold Coast.
It'd work, well, they'd probably be better at golf.
Yeah, I think Jack Nicholas has designed a couple of them.
Why would you guarantee Lepich for next year?
Oh, because they've got no one else.
No, but I'm just saying he's contracted to the end of next year. So you don't say I guarantee. You say he's contracted to the end of next year.
So is Mick Malthouse. I mean, coaches' contracts.
But guaranteeing's no more... Guaranteeing is no more certainty than having the contract, right? So you've just added an extra level above the contract.
Another layer of speculation.
So it looks like a bigger back down when you make the bigger back down.
No, you're right.
You know, they should listen. Lessons from Serge and Titus here. You had to run an AFL club. Matt Cerrone wrote in, should the Essendon versus Brisbane game, which I think is round 18, be called off? For the love of God, please to call it off.
When you draw in for the love of God to any question regarding football, you know somebody's taking it very seriously.
Well, They're right, though, aren't they?
Oh, it'll be a cracking game. This will be the battle for the number one draft pick. Because Essendon won't win another game this year. There's not a chance.
Do they play? No, they play Melbourne again, don't they?
No, they don't.
Oh, they don't?
They don't play Melbourne again. I checked.
How Melbourne lost that game now when you look at what's happened since.
But that Essendon-Brisbane, it'll be the battle for the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
And so call it off. That'll just get Cotchie even more upset.
Oh, if we could... That might be worth it then.
Yeah, possibly.
I've turned around on it. They're just going to have the Benny Hill music running in the background that whole match.
Be no Hell's Bells before that one.
The theme from Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's basically, it's going to be as awkward as watching The Office.
The baseline from the Seinfeld or
yeah,
something.
That, yeah, after every turnover. Yeah. Actually, we should start a petition to have that happen after every turnover in that match over the loudspeaker.
You get that bong, 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 yeah. Seinfeld bit. Yeah.
Or the Curb Your Enthusiasm, that would be terrific. Yeah. That would probably add 10,000-20,000 to the crowd just for the laughs.
It would. We should think about that. Like,
there we go. Right. Oh, Rosie's just killing it.
Rosie's on fire.
That's the bonus. She's just secured the bonus for the year.
That's your soundtrack to Essendon v Brisbane, round 18.
Oh, perfect. Now, one of your all-time favourite sporting heroes, Maria Sharapova.
Oh, you got to love your Maria.
Got banned last week.
2 years.
That was the real reason we took off.
We were so upset.
We were so upset, and we got together and just watched tapes of her losing to Serena. She's been banned for 2 years, so some people might be lucky they only got 1 year. Might think about that.
You might say that.
Following a positive test for meldonium, which you and I have not bothered. We've not done our research to know what
that
does. I
have no idea what it does. It does sound like a radioactive isotope.
Like. I think it is. They said that the ITF, which is the International Tennis Federation, which I never knew even existed, has backdated it to January 26 this year, meaning her results and prize money from the Australian Open, where she reached the quarterfinals, would be cancelled. So that's all become
quarter
null.
$250,000?
Probably.
Got to give back.
Fair bit of money.
Good luck getting a check off Maria.
She just retreats to Russia.
and get it if you want.
Where they'll just let her off. There's no laws there.
And you can buy meldonium anywhere you like in Moscow.
That's right. It's just sold. Sold open milk bars.
7-Elevens. You get a pint of vodka and 24 tabs of meldonium.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because the Russians are just out of control with their doping. They're sort of like, if Essendon was a country. you got anything to say about Maria? I knew you were a bit teary last week.
I was a bit dodgy. You know what we're really going to miss about Maria? It's this. You see, that's actually the wrong piece of audio. We wanted Maria screaming.
Playing tennis.
That's actually a hidden microphone from Titus's boudoir.
I tell you what, it didn't sound enough like me alone, really, for that.
The thwack of tennis ball against strings, though, was a dead giveaway.
Oh, dead giveaway. I think a lot of people said they're not going to miss that. They are not going to miss it.
No,
but how's she going to promote brands now? That's the real worry, because I see her more as a promoter of brands than a tennis player.
But I think Nike have stuck with her, haven't they? They've kept her on contract.
Well, they're stuck with Tiger Woods after all his nonsense. Yeah. They've stuck with a few Nike. They don't mind a bit of controversy.
And they're so rich, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, it just shows you that thank God no one in Australia ever takes drugs in the athletic community. Now, Sarah's written, we've got some listeners' questions. Sarah's written in, you two have been taking lots of weeks off lately. Are you the Travis Cloak of podcasts? we are in terms of being highly inaccurate.
Yeah, I was about to say, Sarah, we always, every time we come in for a podcast, we drift to the left. You know?
We are sorry. We are going to fix this.
Yeah, we are going to get together.
It's actually very rare for us to not be able to do it, so we apologise. I'm actually shocked that anyone cared that we didn't.
That anyone noticed.
It's kind of nice that people actually said, hey, where is it? I was like, thank you, people. Mm. Scott Kevin wrote in.
Sorry, before we get to Scott's question, can I just say amongst all the listener questions this week, there's been a distinct lack of weird names. They're all real names. They're all real names, which means people don't know.
I think there's one or two, but overall, you're right.
You see Titus O'Reilly. We don't like people hiding behind fake names, either of us.
It's ridiculous. It's coward's act, really. Use your own name. Put your name to your work. Mm. That's what I've always...
That's what my mum, Mrs. Paradise, says.
That's right, Sergio. Now, the next one is Scott Kevin wrote in, is there a greater experience than watching a Carlton fan arrive full of good spirits midway through the second quarter, only to see the scoreboard and Eddie had food prices? It was sad to watch the wheels come off the Carlton bandwagon yesterday in real time.
Scott does make a very good point that it is funny that, you know, Carlton supporters, they're all pumped up and they don't get in until halfway through the second quarter and they're six goals behind. Hey, there was one better thing than that yesterday and I'd never seen it before. 3 11-year-olds jeering at Collingwood supporters as they walked out at the 20-minute mark.
Like Melbourne supporters.
Yeah, the Collingwood supporters leaving at the 20-minute mark of the last quarter and kids just pointing their finger and laughing at them.
See, I'm still a bit burnt over Melbourne have been so bad for so long. I still feel bad, like, rubbing it in someone because I'm like someone who went through the depression. I'm still not sure it can't all just happen again. you know how someone who went through depression never wants to spend their money even in boom times? I'm like that. I don't want to start, you know, getting too full on.
Well, yesterday was the first time I think I've seen the final quarter of a Queen's Birthday game in close to a decade.
Oh, there's four quarters. that makes sense of why they call them quarters. Scott Warne wrote in, was nearly losing to the Gold Coast, but eventually winning a backwards or forward step in Dimmer's plan, or was it both steps? If that's the case, are we still playing footy or training for Dancing with the Stars? Dimmer's, you know, we've got to take one step back to take two steps forward. Mm. Hasn't his team really delivered in spades on the step back part?
They've promised. I mean,
I said one step back. I said one, not 18.
Can you come ninth on Dancing with the Stars? With eight contestants.
We should stop ninth jokes about Richmond, but they're still funny. That's the problem. They're not all. Sometimes they're a bit simple, but if you can work a good one in, it's still. And you know what? Even if they're not funny, how angry the Richmond fans get when you make one. I made one a while ago. It must have been like last year or something. And someone, a Richmond man, wrote to me and said, Titus, I thought you were better than this. And I'm like, why would you think that?
I said, your answer is obviously, well, you obviously don't understand me at all.
Have you met me? No, you know, like.
This is as good as I get, you know.
It's like, you know.
I can't get any better.
Port Adelaide tarp jokes, you know, Collingwood dentist or jail jokes. They're all great.
Yeah.
Melbourne snow jokes.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're classics.
Which I must remind you, the start of August, I'm going to Hotham.
We're going to miss a show.
We're going to have a bye that week.
Maybe if Mount Hotham want to sponsor the podcast, we'll come up and do it from there.
Yeah, well, that's an idea.
I'd have to leave the house, though, so I'm not super keen.
I'll look into that. You don't have to ski.
Oh, no, there's no way I'd be skiing.
Get plenty of rum up there.
I'm not even a downhill skier, but I will sit in a lodge and drink.
Yes, and okay.
Which is basically what everyone does. Elza wrote in, or I think it's Elzia.
Elzisa?
No, it's no T in it. Anyway,
Elzisa.
It's a great name.
It is.
After you said they're all simple names, I just completely
threw you.
I like how we just don't even try and get names right. Like other more polished shows put real effort into it.
Wow. With the exception of Billy Brownless.
We went to the Billy Brownless School of Broadcasting. Should Carlton look at replacing Brendan Bolton with a proven premiership coach? Absolutely.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
Had enough time with this list.
He has. You know,
Malthouse left him a dynasty, a mini dynasty. It was like three rounds.
An anti-dynasty. A maxi-dynasty. Now we've got one here from two from Lisa Mac. I presume there's something beyond the Mac.
Yeah.
Whether it's a McKenzie or Donald or something, I don't know. Will Eddie's next target be the Moggs Creek Academy zone?
I think it has to be. Who would have thought that someone would be homesick for Moggs Creek?
Not a bad spot, Moggs Creek.
Yeah.
Well, if you're living in Adelaide.
It's near Geelong.
But if you're living in Adelaide, Moggs Creek is, you know, it's nirvana.
Oh, true. Yeah. Paradise.
Paradise.
God's country.
God's own.
Although, you know, you miss out on the Rundle Mall. and with the pigs and the
get to,
the giant know, balls.
And get to, you know, sit outside the airport and watch the planes come in. No, that's still a big weekend thing in Adelaide.
I
know for sure now who I'm going to get a tweet from this afternoon about bag in Adelaide.
Who?
Oh, I can't remember his name, but I know it's, but I know it's coming. Every time I bag Adelaide, he rips into me.
There was another one where I bagged Adelaide, and I actually like Adelaide quite a lot. I've been there a lot for various things, but I always like, you know, I bagged and someone did the same. Oh, Titus, I thought you were better than that.
See, nobody ever says it to me. They think I'm better than that.
I like how I've convinced people I'm better than it, and I still do the same jokes. Mick Tav, you wanted a strange name, yeah. Mick Tav, and it's all one word. Mm. In regards to GWS, is it time to limit the number of man buns on any one team?
Good question.
They do have a lot of man buns.
Not just GWS. They're getting around. Port Adelaide go pretty well on the man bun too.
Yeah, Collingwood got... Do they just have the one? I'm trying to think how many they've got.
Brody Grundy yesterday.
Yeah,
he's and got... And people in the crowd were actually calling him man bun from the crowd. Mm. Yeah, it's not particularly... Clever.
You're no man if you've got a bun, let me tell you. No, this is where I've stuck to my 1950s view of the world. And women should have to resign from their jobs if they get pregnant.
Just before we get on to our very last question, and we're talking dodgy haircuts from Mick Tav there, we're trying to answer listeners' questions at the moment. I actually have a question for our listeners. Somebody will know the answer to this. There's a bloke who works for Melbourne Footy Club. I don't know what he does. I don't know whether he's a fitness guy or a medical guy or whatever, but he's always out in the ground with the players before the game. He has got the best 1980s Adelaide mullet going round.
Really?
It's Wayne Wiedemann in red and blue. He's got the short on top, the short on sides, but the flowing mullet down the back, the old Billy Ray Cyrus. It's magnificent. There must be somebody
who can point it out.
Who can tell us who he is, because I want to meet him.
It's probably from 1980s Adelaide. That's when he started it.
Now, can I do the very last question? Because it is aimed brutally at Titus O'Reilly. People say that you can never say never, but they've just said it twice in three words. Can you answer this, Titus, please?
I think it's because people are idiots.
Is that your answer? I thought you were better than that.
I'm not worthy. Well, we have been back, and now that we've been back, people are wondering why.
Correct.
But we were going to be back. We will be back next week.
We shall indeed.
Likely. Mm. Highly likely. I give us a good 60% chance. Mm. If people can keep rating us and leaving comments on iTunes, that helps us out immensely.
It does.
And we'll see you next week.
See you then.
Follow Titus in Paradise on Twitter @Titus O'Reilly and @Serge_Para.